Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Good morning. As you've heard, I'm Chris Mulheron, and it's great to be here today. My wife Lindy and I enjoy visiting Deep Creek. We often do at Christmas and Easter with our son and daughter-in-law and all of those grandsons. Although I'm an Anglican minister, I actually spend most of my time running an organisation called ISCAST, Christians in Science and Technology. And part of our mission is to help people integrate science and faith so that science is not a block to robust Christian faith. So this week and next week, I'll be giving two talks. They're not quite sermons, more talks that deal with questions where science and faith come together. So this morning, we're reflecting on an issue that has taken the world by storm, particularly in the last couple of decades. The issue of sex and gender is an absolute minefield. It's a cultural minefield because it's impossible to have a careful public discussion of these issues without it becoming heated and polarised. And it's a personal minefield for parents and young people who are dealing with deeply personal and often traumatising questions about personal identity. So let me pray. God our Father, give us ears to hear you this morning and grace to care for people, parents and young people, for whom this is a live and deeply disturbing issue. Amen. So, the first thing I want to do... Excuse me, I better take this. Hello? Yeah, hi Ash, good to hear from you. Look, I'm just about to give a talk in church. Can I ring you back? Okay, hold on a sec, can you? Look, just a sec, back in a minute. Sorry about that. It's my friend Ashley. They are a teenager struggling with a few things, to put it mildly anyway. Actually, their life is falling apart as they try and work out who they are and why God can't make it all better. Ashley was born I won't break confidences, but let's just say that Ashley is not very happy in their own skin. Ashley struggles with who they are, but they're in a really tough place, and I've been talking with them for a few months now. It's hard to know what to say often. Ash watched the Channel 7 Spotlight program last Sunday night, and it's raised some issues for them. If you're interested in this issue, I do highly recommend the program. It's called Detransitioning on Channel 7 Spotlight. And I should say that if there are people here today who have these sort of deep wrestles about identity and sexuality, I really hope that today's talk might help just a little bit. And as well, if anything I say frustrates you, or it's not clear, or it's hurtful, please speak to me afterwards. Please don't hesitate. Now, just let me finish my call with Ash. Hi, Ash. Yep, I'm giving a couple of talks at Deep Creek Anglican Church about issues of science and faith. And this one today is definitely a difficult one because it's about sex and gender and who I am and what God thinks about it all. You know, the things that you and I have already talked about a lot. The stuff that you're going through, really. Yeah, well, it's not really a sermon, it's more of a talk, it's meant to be. But right now, it's more of a phone conversation with you. Yeah, that's fine. We can talk for a bit. Yeah, well, maybe you should try coming to church again. I know you're having a bit of a war with God at the moment, but you won't get contaminated by coming to church. They're nice people, really. Anyway, I want to help the church people think through this stuff a bit, if I can. I especially want to help them move from a sort of Christian theory to how they might care for people who are struggling with these things. People like you, really. Yep, it's a bit of a minefield, saying anything, really. Why a minefield? Well, I guess one of the biggest problems is that it's very hard for Christians to even be heard clearly. You know what happened with the Essendon Football Club CEO who got kicked out? People leapt to all sorts of conclusions just because he was involved with a church. He's a gay hater, he's homophobic, he hates women. Not true, of course, but the mud sticks. And you know how it is in your world, Ash. The bottom line is that traditional Christian views are less and less popular in our society. And you also know that I have what you might call an old-fashioned view of sex. I think that God made human beings, and I think he knows what's good for us better than we do. Pardon? Yep, like Aristotle's knife. Yes, they're still here. They're listening to our conversation, actually. Tell them. Sure, okay, hold on a sec. That's enough. Was that you? No. Okay, I'll tell them. Ash wants me to tell you about Aristotle's knife. It's an example I used when I was talking to them about how God loves us and made us for a purpose. So 2,500 years ago, the Greek philosopher Aristotle asked himself how to work out what the virtue of something was. What is a good thing? And he used a knife as an example. Is this a good knife? Well, you can only work out what a good knife is if you know what a knife is for. If you don't know the purpose of something, then you can't work out whether it's a good something. And without knowing the purpose of something, you're a bit lost working out how it should be used. Well, like I told Ash, it's the same with human beings. If you want to know how humans should live, and specific to our topic today, which we will get back to when I finish my phone call, if you want to know how humans should live and how they should relate sexually and how they should think about their own identities, then you need to know the purpose of human beings. You need to know what sort of a being they are. To put it another way, as some people say, we need to read the Maker's instructions, or we'll never know what we're made for. Ash and I talked about how our culture is very confused about all the purpose and identity questions, which means people, including children, are left to their own devices and to going in whatever direction the cultural wind is blowing. To use a biblical metaphor, people are tossed about on the cultural seas and they have no anchor. Christians, on the other hand, should have a good sense of what it means to be human. And one part of a Christian understanding of humanity is the place of singleness and marriage and how we express our sexuality. The reading we heard today sets the biblical scene for sexual practice. For Christians, sexual intimacy finds a place only in a lifetime commitment to another person of the opposite sex. That view is affirmed throughout the Bible. Ash and I also talked about how being human and finding fulfillment in life has much more to do with being accepted by God just as we are. Right? Yep. Pardon? Yeah, exactly. Those sort of biblical rules about sex don't really make a lot of sense for someone who doesn't get the picture, do they? You know the Christian big picture, Ash. We believe in a creator God who loves every one of us, a God who wants the best for us, who has made us for a purpose and who longs for us to fulfill that purpose. He's not a baddie who's out to catch us out. He's like a perfect parent who only wants the best for their children. And yes, he made us all with a longing for love and affirmation and acceptance and intimacy. No, not sexual intimacy necessarily. Yeah, well, the problem is that we can go looking for intimacy in the wrong places, can't we? You know what I think? I think that for a lot of people, their identity is about their bodies and sex, and they think that if only they get that sorted out, it'll meet their deepest needs. No, I don't think that is right. Christians are convinced that our identity can't be summed up in a letter of the alphabet or our biological shape and makeup. Sure, our body shape and sexual orientation, our choices, they're all important. And yes, our genes and our disabilities, the visible and invisible, yeah, they all contribute to our self-understanding and how we get along in the world, but none of them are our core identity. And I know all this is really difficult, even hurtful for you, because you'd like to be a Christian, but you can't imagine being in a heterosexual marriage or even any sort of marriage at all, can you? Yeah, I know. I guess the problem is that a lot of people outside the church just don't like what we're on about, so they look for things to attack. It's a war zone. They think we're judgmental and that we just want to tell them how to live. So then we express a view they don't like, They sometimes think we're attacking them personally. No, I don't mean you. I guess I put you in another class. No, sorry, that wasn't meant to be patronising. Sorry. Look, the last thing I want you to think is that I'm patronising you or downplaying how significant the issue is. I can't say I know, but I do have an inkling of how difficult it is for you and your friends. I really do bleed for you every time I think of what you're going through. And I just wish I could convince you of how much God cares for you, just as you are. God cares for you, Ash. Yeah, I know. Hold on a sec. Ash has just reminded me that the suicide statistics among the group that they mix with are really tragic. 1 in 6 young LGBTQIA plus Australians have attempted suicide. In fact, 2 of Ash's friends who were wrestling with their gender identity and sexuality have taken their own lives in the last year. Ash wanted you to know that sort of thing. Yeah, I know it's difficult, yeah. Listen, I want to say something, but I don't want you to misunderstand me, okay? I know that life feels really quite... Well, I was going to use a rude word, but I probably shouldn't because I might offend somebody here in church. Anyway, I know that life is the pits when you're struggling with all that stuff. But what I want to say is something that Christians have known since the time of Jesus. In the words of a prime minister from before you were born, life wasn't meant to be easy. I think that just about sums it up. Whoever we are, we have to get our expectations right, because if we have false expectations of what life is about, then we're going to be bitterly disappointed and even angry at God. No, I know, I'm not in your shoes, but hear me out if you can. Do you honestly think that Christians or anyone on earth really lives a sort of easy, blissful life? I don't know if he was right, but there was an American writer called Thoreau who once said, most men, and he meant most people live lives of quiet desperation. Life on earth is a challenge, and we do what we can to live well. The difference for Christians is that they're confident about what we're here for and what living well means. Yeah, look, I don't want to compare my life or the next person's struggles with yours. But the reality is, in a sense, you're not different to lots of us who cry out to God at one stage or other, why did you make me like this? Or why is this happening to me? Or just, I've had enough, I don't want to keep on going. Trusting in God who cares for us doesn't mean Christians are better than anyone else. But hopefully it means that they're a bit more confident about getting on with life despite the hardships it brings. And maybe that's the point, Ash. One way or another, most people at some stage struggle with life and identity and working out how to live well. I know it might be hard to hear, but I don't know. I haven't mentioned sin. Well, yeah, you're sort of right. I haven't used the word sin. Actually, lots of Christians will disagree with me. But when I talk to people outside the church, I think that the sin word gets in the way. Honestly, what use is it to say to somebody? I mean, think about Freddie and Dave. What use is it to say to Freddie and Dave, who have no idea about God or the purpose of life, what use is it to say, hey, Freddie and Dave, you are sinning, you need to break up? How is that going to go down if they have no concept of a God who loves them, a God who made them for a purpose? If I just tell them to change their sex life, that will absolutely put them off and make them think I'm homophobic. So no, I haven't mentioned sin, but I have talked about the purpose of human life. Aristotle's knife, what's a good knife? A knife that cuts. Well, sin is really just another word for when humans don't fulfill their purpose. Actually, if you want to get technical, one of the biblical words for sin just means missing the mark, like an arrow that doesn't hit its target. So if God's purpose for human beings is the target, then sin is when we don't hit the target. Yep, I know, and you know what the message of our culture is. You know the rules of our culture, our cultural catchphrases. That's like, follow your heart and I'm born this way, or if it feels good and doesn't harm anybody else, then just do it. It must be good. What's the answer? Well, you know what I think. I think the answer is coming to peace with who you are. You know, the Apostle Paul, in a letter he wrote to the church in Macedonia, he said, I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation. That's something I wish I could say too. You know what I think? I think the answer is to realize that there is a God who cares for you more than anyone on this planet can. And it's not crazy to hope for that day when everything will be okay. Christians call it redemption, when God will fix everything that's wrong with this broken world, including our bodies and our desires that can cause us so much pain. We won't be dissatisfied in heaven. Christians are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth where all the brokenness is fixed. Do you know the Serenity Prayer? Okay, well, if you're ever in the mood to try praying, I recommend it. It goes like this. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and wisdom to know the difference. Sure, I'll text it to you. Sorry? Singleness. Yes, I guess forever single might be on the cards, but that's not the end of a fulfilled life. You might feel like that, and I know it's hard to hear, but you don't have to have sex to be a fulfilled human being. And Christians have a long tradition based in the Bible of some people living fulfilled single lives, which doesn't mean it's always easy. I know this isn't exactly your case, Ash, but I know a lot of single people who long to be married, and I reckon there are lots of people who are actually not very interested in sex. Unfortunately, here in the church, some Christians seem to almost idolize marriage, and they obsess about finding a partner. That can be really tough for people who are single. Some Christians need to realize that life is not about sex and that singleness is not a second-rate option. Yeah, well, like I said, there are Christians who are pretty unhappy about that, but they accept it. I heard someone speak in church just recently who's same-sex attracted, but he agrees that sex is for traditional marriage. So he lives a celibate but really fulfilled life. He has lots of friends and a life full of purpose, and his identity is not caught up in his sexual orientation or his gender choices. Was he made that way? Well, I guess you could say that he was made that way. At least, he would say that he can't help being same-sex attracted. No, I don't think there's a gay gene. Science is pretty clear on that. It's not as simple as that. Your sexual attractions and the way you express your gender are not written in your genes. Your genes that you're born with, along with your nurture and your experiences and the choices you make, they all go into the mix of making us the sort of people we are. If there were a gay gene, well, actually, I don't think it would make much difference, really. If we knew that there was a gay gene, I mean, what if we knew there was a gene for making us want to drink too much alcohol? Or what if there was a gene for wanting to only eat sweet things? Or a gene for gambling or addictive behaviour? Or a gene for sitting on the couch and binging on Netflix? Even if science discovers some gene for gayness or for Netflix binging, we have to be clear that no amount of science can tell us what the right way to live is. Yeah, science is about the natural world and our biology, but science doesn't tell us anything about right and wrong. And that's the problem with the idea of just following your heart or your every wish and desire, or saying, I was born this way. We all have to control our desires and work out which ones are okay and which ones are just not good for us. Running with my feelings can be disastrous. Hypothetical. The fact that I, as a married man, might be attracted to the chatty woman at the water cooler, that's no reason to encourage the relationship. It's a reason to be careful. It might be natural, but it's not good. It's an unhelpful temptation. Let me give you another example. What if we trusted our feelings when it comes to the sort of food we eat? What if our feelings tell you every night to just keep on drinking or to take drugs? Or this morning when a crazy driver almost caused an accident in front of me? If I'd just done what I felt like, I'd be in a police cell now. You get the point. Feelings and desires are not always a great guide for actions, and in the long run, they can lead us into disaster. Yeah, right. That's why we need to know what we are made for and what sort of framework, and have that sort of framework for making sense of our lives. then we resist giving in to the temptation to do things that are bad for us. Is that repression? Well, I guess you could call it that, but isn't that what we do all the time? I would call it resisting temptation. It's not unhealthy repression of your essential self if you say no to a gambling or drinking crave. Resisting temptation might be tough, but it's normal and it's healthy. Yep, I didn't use the sin word again, but you're right. We have to work out which of the desires of our hearts and our bodies are sinful, and no amount of science can tell us that. I mean, that's normal for Christians because we have this idea that the world is a fallen place and human beings are tempted to do things that are actually bad for us. If only we could trust that God knows best for us. Ash, hear me clearly. I really care for you and so does God. It's because he cares that he gives us a framework for living. And in a world where we can't just trust our feelings, we need guidelines for what's best for us. And God gives us some of those basic guidelines in the Bible. What are the basics? Well, like I said, when it comes to sex and gender stuff, the basics are that we're born one sex or the other, male and female bodies are different, including their brain structure. That's just the biological facts that we need to accept. It's written into every one of about 30 trillion cells in your body. Some people are born intersex too, but only a tiny, tiny proportion of people are born with those chromosomal differences. And in that sense, they're just like other people who are born with other genetic or physical differences from the normal. And I don't have to tell you that biological differences make no difference to their worth or their importance to God. Gender, on the other hand, is not the same as sex. Well, you know more about that than me, but there's no limit to the possibilities, is there? Gender is plastic. It's about how someone chooses to identify or to fit in with the norms that are usually associated with men and women. Yes, I think Christians are pretty confused, probably. Be patient with them. And I think sometimes Christians give the impression that there's something wrong with a person just for having temptations or a desire to live a certain way. That's where the accusation of homophobia comes in, I guess. But the bottom line is, we are all broken people, Ash. None of us are whole. We will never be whole until God finishes his business. It's not you or the next person, it's everyone. The question is not how we can be totally cured or made perfect here on earth. We have to learn to live out our brokenness with grace and patience, and for a lot of people, with the pain of waiting. Well, Christians believe that we live out that brokenness in hope because life on earth is only a shadow of the things to come. One day God will make us all whole. Yes, it can be difficult, but like I said, we need to get our expectations right. Life is difficult. The challenge is to live well. And of course, for Christians, Jesus is the model of the person who suffered because he loved and he lived well. But listen, I better go. I've got a talk to give and people are waiting. Thanks, Ash. It's great to talk to you too. Let's catch up soon, eh? And do come along to church sometime. I'll introduce you to some really caring people. Hang in there, eh? Okay, bye now. Well, thank you for your patience. I'm sorry I had to take that call. But I guess I think that caring for Ash and walking with Ash is more important than a lot of theory. I don't know if I'm giving Ash the right advice. Maybe you can tell me. But one thing I know is that our culture is literally driving them into the valley of the shadow of death. And the church should be the place where they find refuge. And I just don't think that the solution for the Christian church is to impose Christian sexual ethics on them as if they were committed Christians. Ash wants to be a Christian. So I reckon my job, our job, is to help that process. When Ash and the Holy Spirit are ready, Ash will sort out the lifestyle choices. Meanwhile, Let's pray for people like Ash, people who we know perhaps, people in our families perhaps. Let's pray. Lord God, these issues are deeply traumatic for many, many people, for many, many families. Issues that bring people to the brink of taking their own lives. Issues of deep personal identity. And as Christians, we know that our personal identity is ultimately only to be found in knowing our Creator and knowing what we were created for. We pray for those people we know, some of them who we're thinking of now. We pray that you will help them in their difficulties, their trauma, their confusion, whatever situation they're in. Help them to see the big picture and to realise that the sex and gender stuff doesn't define who they are as a person. Help them to realise that they are loved by the God who made them. Help them to realise that life isn't always easy, and give them people around them to care for them, and help us to be those people. Help us to have a great deal of wisdom as we understand, on the one hand, what we are made for, what the guidelines you've given us are, but on the other hand, how we want to care for people and not be judgmental and help them where they're at. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.